coming right up.
Tune in to hear something classic or something fresh, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CFRC.
Hey, Charlie, table 26 wants a hot alphabet soup.
What's for lunch today?
Alphabet soup.
Soup, soup, soup.
Alphabet soup.
I made it special.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's alphabet soup.
We call it alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. Because we make it a lot with alphabet-shaped pasta.
The letters are now twice as big.
Whatever's fun, little stars, little letters. Sometimes I will use
alligator, big bear, soup.
Campbell's alphabet soup.
Soup from a can? Disgusting!
Good morning, it's Tuesday at 10 a.m., time for Alphabet Soup, the show where each week we pull three albums off the shelf and take a closer look. The title of today's episode is Max Without the Martin. This week on the show, I've got three pop albums. These three were selected by my guest this week on the show, Alphabet Soup's resident pop expert, Noah Hill. First up, Noah tells me about his top album of summer 2024, Big Ideas by Remy Wolf.
Thank you.
It's kind of funny, and we're kind of like full circle talking about this, because I was the one who first hyped you up on Remy Wolf, and now here we are, and I've brought you in to talk about her second album, to tell me about it, because you're the one that's all in on this.
Listen, once you put me on to Remy Wolf, it was very much like, oh, this is what I've been missing in my musical diet, and I'm very excited to put it back in. And I just remember the song you first showed me was Sugar. From Juno, and I was like, oh, this is a fun time. The way that, just how, for lack of a better word, how bouncy it felt, you know, like there's so much going on. And we were talking about this before, but Remy Wolf has told us that she has ADHD, and I would almost say there's like a certain sense of like hyperactivity in the music, just in that there's so much going on and there's so much that you can pay attention to, and it's such a treat for the ears.
I think when people describe Remy's music, there's always kinds of words like explosive, colorful, bright, and I find that even you hear that more than like genre words. Like People also say like funk, pop, and this and that, but like it's more about just the energy and the explosiveness of it.
I've always felt that that's kind of the best way to like describe her music, because it is so much. It's such a feeling that, or sorry, it's something that I feel so deeply, is like her music and just like the chords and like whatever. It feels colorful to me. Like, and it's also something that she's leaned into kind of like in her own like aesthetic. Like if you check out like the music video for Cinderella or Toro, it's just big, bright colors, highly contrasted colors. Like it's so saturated and so like full of life and just zest.
So this album is her second one, and she's had like a super modern pop star type come up in a way. Like she had singles and EPs during 2020, COVID sort of TikTok dance stuff.
Yep.
And then that first album, Juno, comes out, which is all in on the bright, colorful explosiveness. And then this album, Big Ideas, comes up. Tell me about like the difference between Juno and Big Ideas.
I would say probably the biggest difference for me is where Juno felt really back to front to the max. There's definitely moments of that in Big Ideas, and that's not something that's forgotten. In fact, I think she's just gotten smarter or more clever with the way that she uses it, and like whenever that comes back up, like you get so excited. But also the other part of that is that she's explored a different kind of sound, different kinds of tempos, kind of genres that she's been like touching kind of with Juno. But then in this album you kind of really get to hear like some of the payoff of that, because I mean her voice is just like incredible, and you hear that on Big Ideas. Just like you hear her belt, you hear her like do like crazy little like runs with her voice, and then like you have these really like stripped back tracks that are like just her voice like and the guitar, and like you can really hear that like emotion come through on her tracks, which is, I've always thought she's been such an expressive singer, especially like on those big belty tracks.
Yes.
But those tracks have always been like really fun, you know, like yeah. it's expressive, it's emotional, but like it's still lots of fun.
When you hear Remy talk about recording this new album, Big Ideas, it feels like she did it in a more comfortable, naturalistic way rather than a traditional like pop star sits down with a songwriter, bang out a tune sort of way.
Yeah, I think, I mean, back to what I was saying before, I think working with Leon and Nick and Homer and Paul, like all those boys, felt kind of like a return to home for me, because I'm so used to making music like jamming with a band, with a bunch of people. So we spent a week together. We probably made like 8 or 9 songs that week. Motorcycle and Just to Start were the two that I released from that week. But I mean, we just jammed all week. We wrote like multiple songs a day. It was so fun. Yeah. Magic and guitar. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you better. Okay. Dancing around and chilling, wine. You look good in my hotel robe. Steam in the shower. Singing slide, wash your bone. We're gonna need a little bit more soap. Fly to Miami in the morning. We better make this one count. You're so heavy. I'm holding. I'm not worried about the sound. We're waking up from people down the hall. You're a bull. I can't help but stay in Toro.
Screaming out, baby, now hold me down. Yeah.
So we talked about like the sort of variations in this that exist here more so than in Juno. And I think something that I hear come up that I didn't even think about when looking at Juno stuff is that some of this album is reflecting on her life in sobriety. It's a unique take on the proper post-sobriety album where she's still having fun, but she's also sort of reckoning with the price of having fun.
So like when I approach making music, when I approach like performing my music, I kind of am always searching for this like party, like excitement, which can come from like partying or not, but just like surrounding myself with people who like I genuinely enjoy and like that genuinely are free and down to explore. And yeah, I just like, I'm so open to kind of anything coming in.
Because that's the other thing too about Remy Wolf, which I don't know if we've like really hit yet in this, is that she writes lyrics unlike anyone else. She just has such a way of, she has such a fun take on a double entendre, and she has fun with like her words, but it's also sometimes stream of consciousness as well. I feel like kind of on Wave, it's a lot of like clauses just kind of like separated like by commas that tell like a full story. And it might not be like full statements all the time, but it's like it's you're getting all the necessary information. And so it's just also fun to see her using lyrics in another really fun way.
All right, Noah, last thoughts on Big Ideas by Remy Wolf.
It's been my top album of the summer. It's so, there's so much to unpack there just sonically, and it's really just such a treat for the ears. There's horns, there's groove, there's funk, there's killer vocals. She really just throws it all at the wall, but in such a like cohesive and clever way. Like the album might span a whole bunch of different genres, but once you get to the end of it, you're like, oh, like I've been on a journey, and that journey has been full of beautiful mountaintops and gorgeous saturated colors. Like, it's like if someone took a lemon and just like squeezed it on life, that's how it would feel, you know, beautiful.
Something that I've always really liked about Remy Wolf and her image and presentation is the fact that she is never, ever sexualized unless it is completely on her own terms. And that's something that she shares with our second album of the day, which Noah's brought in for us.
Yeah, and it's a really fun one, too. It's the 2006 album Loose by Nelly Furtado.
That's throwing you off.
Nope.
Didn't think so.
How you doing, young lady? The feeling that you're giving really drives me crazy. You don't have a play about the choke. I was at a loss for words first time that we spoke.
You're looking for a girl that'll treat you right. You're looking for in the daytime with the light.
You might be the type if I play my cards right. I'll find out by the end of the night.
You expect me to just let you hit it, but will you still respect me if you get it?
All I can do is try, give me one chance. The problem, I don't see the ring on your hand. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm curious about you, you seem so innocent.
You wanna get in my world, get lost in it. Boy, I'm tired of running, let's walk for a minute.
Miscuous girl, whatever you are, I'm all alone, and it's you that I want.
Miscuous boy, you already know that I'm all yours. What you waiting for?
Miscuous girl, you're teasing me. You know what I want, and I got what you need.
Miscuous boy, let's get to the point, 'cause we
roses are red, some diamonds are blue. Chivalry is dead, but you're still kinda cute.
Hey, I can't keep my mind off you. Where you at? Do you mind if I come through?
I'm out of this world, come with me to my planet. Get you on my level, do you think that you could handle it?
They call me Thomas, last name Crown. Recognize gang, I'ma lay mine down.
I'm a big girl, I can handle myself. But if I get lonely, I'ma need your help. Pay attention to me, I don't talk for my health.
I want you on my team,
so does everybody else.
Baby, we can keep it on the low. Let your guard down, ain't nobody got it. If you would've girl, I know a place we can go.
What kind of girl do you take me for?
Miscuous girl, whatever you are.
Don't get me.
Don't get mad. Don't be me.
Hey, don't be mad. Don't get me.
Don't get mad. Don't be me.
Wait. I don't mean no harm. I can see you with my t-shirt on.
I can see you with nothing on. Feeling on me before you bring that on.
Bring that on.
You know what I mean.
Girl, I'm a freak. You shouldn't say those things.
I'm only trying to get inside of your brain. See if you can work me the way you say.
It's okay. It's alright. I got something that you don't like.
Is it the truth or are you talking trash? The game MVP like Steve Nash.
Miscuous girl, whatever you are.
I think especially people of our age in our like early mid 20s, it's probably the album we most associate with Nelly Furtado, and which is crazy considering that she had already a very two successful albums like before, but she was coming off of a little bit of a sophomore slump. And so then she comes out with Loose, that was kind of a big collaboration with Timbaland. He's all over the album. And lyrically, I'm sure if you remember some of the tracks from that, specifically Promiscuous, Man Eater, some of those like that, they are talking about like female sexuality, and she is like owning it, which doing research for this episode and also kind of like remembering back to that time, like in 2006 when that album came out, she was being compared to some of her contemporaries whose image was about reclaiming their sexuality and being powerful in it. And there were a lot of detractors to this, to the overt sexuality that she brought to this album, which I think is really fun to think about now, because I think when we look back at this album, it's one of the reasons why this album is so still appreciated and still listened to so much, is that there is all this like overt, proud sexuality in like owning it. And I just think that's a really fun thing to see, that artists have like been reclaiming their sexuality through music like for a long time. And like, you know, now we see artists like Remy Wolf who, you know, are able to do that like completely on like their own terms. And I think an album like Loose is one of those great projects, you know, that stands in the same lane as some of Madonna's work, that like all of these women who did all that work to make it okay to talk about your sexuality and be proud of it and be overt and be loud about it, just the way that, you know, men are able to on their music as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that this album was kind of criticized at the time that it came out for feeling forced with the sexuality, because it definitely feels like a self-love kind of thing, like celebratory.
100%. Like it's always this like she's the man eater, like she's doing the thing, like she's, or like even like, yeah, exactly what you said. Like nothing about it feels forced, and it just feels so real and so fun, like in that way too. I think that's another thing, like about this album, is that it has fun with like the more sexual like aspects like of it. But again, such a fun project that plays with genre in a very exciting way. Again, like there's obviously the Timbaland production like throughout the entire project.
I was gonna say we can't go much further in this album without talking about the Timbaland production, because it's something that makes this album feel like in that perfect Goldilocks zone of dated and timeless, where when you play these songs now, it is very much a throwback. But it feels just like it fits right into any playlist from 2024.
Yeah, it never feels out of place. Like no matter when you play it, like it still has that timeless feel. You can throw it on like with any group of people, and it's such a good throwback, but it still feels so current and so like important to like what we're seeing in music today.
like a movie.
Last thoughts on Loose by Nelly Furtado.
I mean, if you are a Canadian who was in the car in between the years 2006 to 2000, probably past 2010, you know at least one of the songs off this album. And there's a reason, because these tracks are all so good. And if you think that you like the hits, you're probably also really going to enjoy the ones that didn't make it to radio, because the whole album is a fun ride in exploring female sexuality and taking ownership of that. So our next album that we have kind of takes both parts of the takes things from both Remy Wolf's album Big Ideas and Loose by Nelly Furtado. Our third album is Sawayama by Rina Sawayama. It came out in 2020. And what I mean by it's taking portions of both of those albums.
So Rina Sawayama is a pop singer-songwriter born in Japan, but immigrated to London in the UK when she was very young. And that kind of like identity and sort of connection to family is something that's all over this album, especially I feel like in the opening track, Dynasty.
And myself in the darkness of the world, catch me before I fall. Saving myself is all I really know. Seen it been done before. I'm a dynasty, a pain in my vein is hereditary.
Yeah, Dynasty is just this very, honestly, when I revisit the album, it's always one of my favorites, if not my favorite on the entire album, because it really takes like the two things that I think this album does best, which is that maximalist production and also those really hard hitting lyrical stories that she's injecting into there. And there's this one part on the track Dynasty where there's a guitar riff playing in it. And the guitar is like keeps like going up the scale. And at one point you start to hear this other layer. And the first time I listened to it, I remember I actually had to ask some of my friends who were musicians and be like, what is that? Is that like, is the guitar doubled? Is that another guitar? And upon further research, she is just harmonizing with the guitar there. And it adds so much because it is such an emotional song. Like she's talking about the dynasty that she is either continuing or not continuing. And she's kind of talking about like how she has the power to, you know, not make the same mistakes that her parents did. And that's kind of like the whole thesis of the album. And as an album opener, I think it does such an amazing job of just setting the stage for what we're about to hear.
Lexus, Calabasas, I deserve it. Call me crazy, call me selfish, I'm the baddest. And I'm worth it. Give me just a little bit, little bit. Only on my
Sawayama, Rina is having fun with genre, just like how Remy Wolf has fun with genre on her projects. And then the part about it that harkens back to that Nelly Furtado is that she's very much playing in a 2000s kind of throwback of genres. You hear that on some of those tracks. Excess is one of them. Like, you can hear like those aspects that are very similar between it and Loose by Nelly Furtado. And it's, again, just a very expansive album. The other side of this album is there's a lot of heavy subject matter on this album. She talks a lot about generational trauma and her relationship with her parents and how that kind of informed a lot of the relationships she had with other people in her life. And the album kind of tells like a really fun story like that, with the starting track being Dynasty, and that one's so much about her, what her life was like growing up and the different obstacles that she faced, like with her in her relationship with her parents. And then you close the album. The penultimate track on the album is called Chosen Family. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of having this whole arc throughout the album.
Something we've been talking about through the previous two albums on this is the use of maximalism, of big sounds, which is an element that pop really does well. And Rina knows when to go 110% and when to rein it back in.
No, exactly. And there's so many instances of that on the album. And sometimes you almost get whiplash because you don't think that maximalist can be done in so many different ways. I think the most glaring example of that is the switch up from Excess, which is this very fun early 2000s pop R&B inspired track. And it's very maximalist in its production towards those genres. And then you have this switch up into STFU, and you're hitting maximalism in a totally different way, in a way that I wouldn't have thought of for a pop song. And I think that's kind of one of the things I love so much about pop music, is just how it can surprise us in those ways, and how there's it that the canvas is almost so open that you can put like anything on it, you know what I mean? And I just love the way that she's able to incorporate all of these different elements into that song and really like hit them on all cylinders.
Patience overrated. If you want it.
So speaking of the similarities between this album and the Nelly Furtado album that we just talked about, some of the unifying sound of both of these comes from the fact that they're both made out of a tight collaboration between a pop star and a producer. Rina Sawayama's album is produced by Clarence Clarity, who is kind of known for that like big maximalist sound that explodes and then contracts all into these like small detailed moments.
Like we kind of see on Loose with Nelly Furtado and Timbaland, when you find a collaborator that you can work so seamlessly with, you make music unlike any others. I feel like in music, there's always been iconic duos who just work so well together and put out music like that. And they're on the same wavelength with it. Yep. They both have the same idea of what they're trying to make. And that's when you get these like these timeless original tracks that, you know, stand the test of time.
We ran through the bright Tokyo lights, nothing to lose. Summer of 2012 burnt in my mind. Hot, crazy, and drunk, five in a room, singing a out to Carly, sweating our eyes, throwing drinks at each other, making fun of our lovers, getting kicked out on the street. Oh, we were best friends forever, but the truth is I'm so good at crashing and making sparks and shit, but then I'm a bad friend, so don't ask me where I've been avoiding everything. Cause I'm a bad friend. I'm a bad friend, yeah. Guess we fell out, what was that all about? Maybe I overreacted. Maybe you shouldn't. It's insane how things can change like that. Don't even know where you are, what you do, and who you do with us. Throwing drinks at each other, making fun of our lovers, getting kicked out on the street. Oh, we were best friends forever, but the truth is I'm so good at crashing in. I'm a bad,
All right, Noah, last thoughts on Sawayama by Rina Sawayama.
This album came out in 2020. This album is also going to be remembered as one of the best pop albums of the 2020s. And it's crazy. We're not even halfway through this decade, but every time I re-listen to this album, I'm finding new things to fall in love with about it. And Rina is just such a gifted musician, lyricist, vocalist as well. She has some crazy vocals on this album, but it's just truly a work of pop perfection is what I call it. It's one of my top pop albums of all time and will definitely be on some top albums of the 2020s lists come 2029. You heard it here first.
Noah, thank you for coming on the show today and bringing those three great albums for us. We always appreciate your unique poptimism perspective on all of this kind of stuff.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you giving me a platform to speak about my poptimism because I love music and I love getting to talk about music. It's one of my favorite things. So thank you so much for having me back, Hayden, and the Alphabet Soup audience.
Thank you for listening to Alphabet Soup. If you liked what you heard on today's show, be sure to tune in next week for more. If you'd like to listen to past episodes of the show, you can find them on radio.cfrc.ca/programs. The show is written, edited, and produced by me at CFRC in Kingston, Ontario. I'm your host, Hayden, and I'll see you next week.